Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUP.com.
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Good Friday evening, Bills Mafia. It is Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot with you as promised, 6 p.m., a little after 6 p.m. here, 2 days ahead of week three. The Bills are getting set to face the Washington football team, and we're going to dive into this a little bit deeper tonight. 25 shorter minutes or so edition of the show. I'm excited to get into a couple things that we have. But before we get into any of that, Ryan, we got a little contest going on right now. You haven't been in Buffalo, but tell them what's up right now.
Yeah, Bills Mafia. There is a billboard in Buffalo, and Matt has put together this great contest. Stop by the billboard, snap your picture with it, and you're entered automatically once you share that picture on social media to be entered in our contest, where there's going to be some great prizes involved. And Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about those prizes?
Yeah. So first off, the address is 291 Chicago Street downtown. If you're driving on the 190 downtown, you will see it. You get off at right after Hamburg Street and you'll land underneath the billboard. If you put 291 Chicago Street in your map app, take a picture, take a little selfie, and then get it to us. You can tweet it at us. You can email it to me, mparrino@syracuse.com. And then you're entered in the contest. There's going to be five winners. We got about 15 or 20 people entered in so far. The billboard is up all month until October 3rd. And I know it says October 1st right here, but we're going to extend it to October 3rd. We'll draw five winners. Three of them will win a Shout t-shirt. I will mail that to you, and then there'll be two grand prizes, a guest appearance on Shout. So we will bring you into the show for an entire episode. You get to pick which episode you want to come on, maybe even with a couple guests lined up. We'll see, but that's going to be a fun fan experience. And then the grand prize is dinner, wings and beers with myself and Ryan Talbot at the Wing Joint of your choice. If you live outside of Buffalo, you can still enter and we could try to figure it out. Maybe if you're going to get back to Buffalo at some point, we could figure it out then. If you're not here, have somebody go and do a selfie or do some kind of fun thing. Maybe take a picture of you and snap a picture down there. You can enter that way if you can't get to Buffalo while the billboard is up. But it's something fun, Ryan. It was so cool when the company put it up there, and so many people have been reaching out that have seen it. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, I've had some people come up to me and take pictures of the billboard itself. They didn't maybe stop and get the selfie, but they've shared that with me, and I think that's pretty awesome. So it's nice when people reach out, and whether it's the selfie, whether it's just a shot of the billboard, or people coming and sending us messages and saying how cool they think that is. So we really appreciate the support. We love it. Like you said, it was awesome that the company did that. So thank you. I saw on YouTube, Matt, we're approaching 4K subscribers. That's pretty impressive from where we've been, right? We started April 2020, correct?
No, we started this channel right after the Baltimore game.
That's right. We've been doing this. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it's been. Oh yeah, by the way, Cody says nice shirt. This is the shirt. This is the shirt that you will win in the contest. But yeah, 4K subscribers on YouTube. You guys have been awesome taking care of us. We're growing this channel by leaps and bounds. It's awesome. And don't forget, you can always subscribe to the audio version as well. You can get it on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. That way, if you miss a part of the live show, you can always get it on your phone whenever you want it. Speaking of which, you know, this is the Shout Bills Football Podcast brought to you by Tops Friendly Markets, your neighborhood store with more. Whether you're celebrating at home or away this weekend, Tops has all your fan favorites ready to enjoy for football, entertaining, or any occasion. Hit up Tops Friendly Markets this weekend. All right, let's get in this game, Ryan. Shout out to Brad Bessie over on Facebook. Fantastic shirt. I gave him one in Cleveland at the draft. One of our biggest fans. Shout out to Brad. It was a snug fit. I got to say, it feels good. I want to start off with something that, you know, you're starting to take a look at this game and where I think it could be won or lost. And I think first and foremost, I want to get in some keys to this game that both of us think. I think it's going to come down to red zone production. And we heard from Brian Daboll earlier this week talking about, like, that's where games usually are won or lost. How do you perform in the red zone, whether it be, you know, defensively or scoring? We saw week one against Pittsburgh. The Buffalo Bills go 1-for-4 in the red zone, and we know what happened in that game. 4-for-4 last week against the Miami Dolphins, and they probably could have gone 1-for-4 with the way that defense is playing, and I'll talk about them in a second. But red zone efficiency, red zone effectiveness is going to be so key in this game. You go back to week one when the Washington football team almost managed to knock off the Los Angeles Chargers and that vaunted Justin Herbert offense. They had 424 yards of total offense. The Chargers did. They scored 20 points. They were 2-for-6 in the red zone. It just took two to win that game. And I think the Bills have a better defense than Chargers. So, you know, the Bills got some things going last week. I think it's going to come down to, can they move the ball, which I think they can, but then take advantage in the red zone.
I think that's a great point, Matt. Like you said, they were perfect last week against Miami. Mind you, there were some close calls, that third down play that Josh Allen kept alive. Stephon Diggs falls down, gets up, catches the ball. So being efficient in the red zone is really important for the Bills here. Like you said, a lot of yards were piled up in week one by the Chargers and even in week two by the Giants in a losing effort. You saw them in a very competitive game with Washington. So it's up to the Bills to move the ball, and obviously to be able to score when they get into the red zone. And for me, I think it's the Bills having to get pressure on Taylor Heinicke, just like they did 1 week ago against the Miami quarterbacks. You look at that game against the Giants, and one reason that I think the Giants lost in that game is they had two quarterback pressures on Taylor Heinicke. That's not enough to get the job done. Obviously, AJ Epenesa last week alone had 9 of his own. The Bills were all over the place, and it wasn't just the defensive line. They were sending heat for Matt Milano. They sent AJ Klein. They sent Taron Johnson, Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White. So they were sending pressure from all three levels. I think that that's going to be the game plan again here, because as we saw on our Wednesday show when we had a great guest on, he mentioned Taylor Heinicke only has 11 quarters of NFL experience over these last 2 years. Playoff game against the Buccaneers, and then obviously when he took over for Ryan Fitzpatrick in week one against the Chargers, and then last week against the Giants. So it's up to the Bills to rattle him. If they can do that, I think they can create a few turnovers and really help them build and sustain the lead in this game.
This group really makes it a lot easier on Taylor Heinicke. I think when you come into a situation like this with a limited amount of experience, when you have talents like Terry McLaurin, obviously, I think Adam Humphries is kind of an underrated slot guy. He's done it at a pretty high level. I know he's kind of had a drop off since the Tennessee years, but you know, somebody to consider here. And Logan Thomas had the big touchdown against the Chargers. He is a real weapon for them. So I think that makes things easier on Taylor Heinicke. Now, something I came across too, Ryan, and I need your feedback here to kind of explain this to me. So Taylor Heinicke is one of four quarterbacks in the NFL right now with zero turnover worthy plays. Tom Brady is another one of them. I think, who is another one? I don't have the other two, but anyway, that's according to Pro Football Focus. Really cool stat. I mean, I think Josh Allen only has 3 or 4, nothing crazy in 2 weeks. But Taylor Heinicke's got an interception. He threw that bad interception against the Giants where the guy jumped the route. So what does constitute a turnover-worthy play here, Ryan? Explain this to me.
I wish I could, but that's Pro Football Focus, Matt. I don't understand half of the stats they put out just because you can, I think you can challenge them half the time, but you're right. I mean, you throw an interception. How is that not in that category? Listen, I think that this is a young guy that can get rattled. This is someone that couldn't win a starting job in the XFL. He was the backup quarterback there. He's talented. Do not get me wrong. I am not trying to knock this guy. He played very well in the playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought he played very well in that Thursday night football game against the Giants. But we are not talking about Patrick Mahomes here, who the Bills will see here in a few weeks. This is someone that the Bills should be able to take advantage of this week against Heinicke, next week against Davis Mills. When you have a defense that is playing at such a high level, these are the games where you say, okay, if the defense plays the way it's had, Josh Allen, if he can get that protection in front of you, which is a big if because Washington has an impressive defensive front, I think this is one of those get right games for the Bills. Get back on track, get your first win at home, and kind of roll into this next game against the Texans with a lot of confidence and hopefully exit that game as well with plenty of confidence.
You know, moving over to the Washington defensive line, obviously Chase Young gets most of the headlines. Montez Sweat is an absolute animal. Jonathan Allen, dude, this dude is a game wrecker. And you rewind the clock 2 weeks, and we see here, I must be drinking too much hype. Scott Blakely says, I feel the Bills will dominate both sides of the ball. Allen begins the peak and defense remains stout. I know, crazy. Listen, I'm not arguing against that, and we'll get to our picks later today. But one of the key priorities for this offensive line is going to be Jonathan Allen. I think that the matchup between Deion Dawkins and Chase Young is going to be fun to watch. And I think Deion took a huge step last week. And I could tell just hearing some of his comments today, I wasn't at the facility, feeling a little bit under the weather, no COVID. So that's good. But I didn't want to go down there and put my sick on everybody. Hopefully be better for Sunday. We'll see. But, you know, you look at Deion Dawkins having that confidence level, you know, growing from week to week. And I thought he was really good last week. Jonathan Feliciano, 8 pressures given up in week 1 against Pittsburgh, 0 last week. And we put out a story at the site last week about what he did, you know, how he was kind of approaching some of those early season struggles. So I think this offensive line has done a lot of things to get right, but they're going to have to be right against Jonathan Allen and those edge rushers this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think, obviously, Deion Dawkins versus Chase Young is the premier matchup that everyone's keeping an eye on. But I need to see something from Darrell Williams, Matt. I'm still a little bit worried about Darrell Williams at right tackle. You have Montez Sweat on that defensive line as well. You have Deron Payne. They're pretty impressive all the way across that line. But Darrell Williams still left a little bit to be desired, in my opinion, in week 2. I thought he played better. But I still thought that among those offensive linemen, he was the weak link of that line. And it's a little bit surprising because he played so well last year in Buffalo. And obviously coming into year 2, entrenched at right tackle, you would think that he would be able to build off of that. We just haven't seen that same Darrell Williams. And Washington, you know, I know that they haven't lived up to expectations that defensive line through 2 weeks. It just takes one game. It just takes one matchup. Or one hit, one sack, one forced fumble to turn a game around. The offensive line needs to bring their A game. We saw John Feliciano not only not give up any pressures, have 2 great run blocks that broke off touchdowns, for one for Zach Moss, one for Devin Singletary. So you just need to see them all the way across the board have another great game to build off of. And I think if they keep building their confidence, it's only going to help Josh Allen.
I just retweeted it. I was talking to John Scott from Spectrum Sports. Always gracious with his time. He jumps on the show from time to time. Give him a follow, John Scott TV on Twitter. Put up a really great story on Cody Ford, who opened up about what the first 2 years in the league was like for him. I haven't had a chance to go through all of it yet. I knew that he was working on it yesterday. I just retweeted it. But, you know, some of the things that he told me after he walked out of the interview with Ford was, you know, how much playing, you know, tackle, where he struggled early on, how much he has kind of liked moving inside. And now being at one spot, I feel like he's kind of trending in a direction towards confidence level. I saw one play during that game, Ryan, where I almost felt like Cody Ford, who's, you know, in his third season, kind of looking over at Darrell Williams like, hey, man, what are you doing? What were you doing out there? So I agree with you. I think this goes back to the start of training camp with Darrell Williams. You know, maybe we should have talked about this a little bit more, how much Greg Rousseau was winning against him one-on-one. Like, they, you don't see that too often, even for a vaunted, you know, top tier, top 10 pick pass rusher. I mean, the Chase Youngs of the world would probably have their work cut out for them against a veteran $10 million a year tackle. And that just has not been the case all spring and all summer.
Yeah, it's a concern and something needs to change quickly because, listen, The Bills do have Spencer Brown waiting in the wings, but how quickly do they want to get him out there on the field? That's the million-dollar question. I think Brown, athletically, he jumps off the charts. There's no denying that. You look at his RAS score, and he's just one of the most athletic tackles that's been in these NFL drafts in the last decade. So it's there, but there's a big difference between being athletic and being able to handle blocking some of the best in the game as a rookie, as a third-round pick. So they obviously don't want to throw him into the fire, but if Darrell Williams keeps struggling, I think there's going to be more of an open competition than people expect. We've seen Cody Ford shine a little bit this year as a guard. Mitch Morse has been a solid presence. Feliciano had a huge bounce back game, and the same can be said for Deion Dawkins. This is a big week for Darrell Williams to show, okay, I'm ready to bounce back as well, protect Josh Allen, let Josh Allen do his thing, not just as a passer, but as a runner, because we talked about it on Wednesday, Matt. Daniel Jones ran for 90 yards on 9 carries, had a touchdown. I think that Josh Allen could do some damage as well with his feet.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of doing some damage, head over to Tops Friendly Markets this weekend, and from hot to go pizza and appetizers, signature fried chicken, baby back ribs and subs, to delicious salads and brownie trays, you could do some damage. They have everything you need to feed the hungriest football fan. I'll definitely be there. I was actually there. We had Steve Karlick on a few weeks ago, our former editor who retired. So I went out to Syracuse yesterday, a little goodbye party. I got him some Bills stuff from Tops and the Tops gift card, because we obviously have been working so much on this podcast over the last couple of years. I thought it would be fitting. So that was pretty cool. All right, let's shift gears here for a moment. You know, one of the things I was looking at also, I was running through some PFF grades, different stats and so on and so forth. Guess over 20 carries this year, the number one ranked running back in explosive play percentage. Devin Singletary, 55%. Listen, this is a whole new world we're talking about here, Ryan Talbot. I mean, Devin Singletary is a guy that all offseason long, fans, media, banging the drum, you've got to go out and get somebody with speed. There's been nobody more explosive than Devin Singletary through 2 weeks, and I think that allows you now to go into games and really trust your third-round draft picks of the last two drafts. Three drafts ago and two drafts ago, and Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. And, you know, as we move forward here, you know, you look at this week, and with Star struggling a little bit with the groin injury that we found out today he suffered before the game in warmups against Miami, which, man, yeah. Maybe Matt, some other people need some groin injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, I was going to say, if that was Star Lotulelei playing with a groin injury, taking on three blockers at once, what's he going to look like when he's healthy?
That's a great question. But I, you know, Harrison Phillips, who was inactive last week, a healthy scratch, you know, Sean really hasn't talked about it this week, but I'd imagine it was strictly a numbers game. I think that you probably want to get him back in the mix this week. And if you add him and you keep Star and you keep Vernon and Zimmer, I don't think you can inactivate Justin Zimmer or Vernon Butler last week. I thought Vernon Butler, you go back and watch that tape, Vernon Butler was active. He was making plays. He looked quicker. That was the best version of Vernon Butler we've seen since last year. I can't remember the specific game, but he had one last year that he really popped off. They need more of that from Vernon Butler, and I think he's kind of earning more trust and playing time.
Yeah, you need that across the line from the defensive line. Obviously, we saw a lot from Epenesa. We saw great things from Greg Rousseau, 2 sacks. Justin Zimmer, a sack. Obviously, you know, being able to run down these running backs. They have a lot of talent on the defensive line, and Harrison Phillips might get his opportunity this year, or this week, I should say, as well. But flipping the script to the running back position, you know, it's funny because all offseason, you saw the videos, you heard the hype, you said, okay, he's really improved his burst. He's really improved in a lot of areas. And a lot of, you know, some fans bought into it. Don't get me wrong. A lot of the Bills fans said, I think he can do this. There are others like, you can't teach burst. You can't teach this. Well, listen, you can teach that. You've seen Singletary show off that burst this year through 2 games. Look more like that version of himself from his rookie. You've seen burst from AJ Epenesa. So I think burst is something you can teach when you get the right the right trainers in place, the right kind of workouts in place. We're seeing it on both sides of the ball. And I did see a comment from Brian Allman in here. Can you trust him with the fumbles? Well, listen, that's a whole nother conversation. We've seen Singletary fumble a few balls out of bounds. We've seen Zach Moss fumble one. That's up to those backs to protect the football a little bit more. But I think it's really encouraging to see the performance that the running backs have had for the Bills through 2 weeks, because I think you're going to see not just the first 2 weeks of the season this year, all throughout the year. You're going to see extra defensive backs on the fields. You're going to see light fronts from defensive lines and linebacker cores. And you're going to pretty much see defenses challenging the Bills to run. And if Devin Singletary and Zach Moss can keep this up over the course of the season, then opposing teams, you know, that's not going to work anymore. Bills are going to run the ball and run it with success. And that's going to open things up for Josh Allen and company.
Yeah, and a good question in here in the chat about Josh Allen from Jackie over on YouTube. Do you think Daryl is the reason Josh is avoiding rolling right? I mean, I think it's part of the reason. I mean, if you go back and look at the touchdown that he threw to Stephon Diggs, he had to move up in the pocket and kind of get out of there to his right, which he was able to do because of the blitzing. I think it was the linebacker there. It wasn't necessarily that Daryl Williams missed the block, but he wasn't aware enough to pick him up. And so, you know, it worked out. Josh got out. He created something, which he tends to do. But I think that is definitely part of the problem on that right side. And this goes into what we were talking about the other night, Ryan. This offense needs consistency from every position group for it to run like it did last year. You know, I think one of the things that really, you know, stood out to me as I'm looking through some of the stats is Josh Allen, you know, literally the lowest quarterback in the league with yards per attempt. And I think it's like somewhere around just over five. He might not be the very last, but he's in the mix with the guys. You just don't want to be in that group. And I think that piece of it, the struggling up front of the offensive line, has led to kind of this difficulty to find a rhythm, because you're always dealing with this chaos in front of you. And I thought this group as a whole, pass blocking wise, take out Kansas City, and you know, that was a really tough game. But I thought as a whole last year, that group was really good in that department. It's got to continue to be better as they move in against a really good defensive line this week.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, I think, you know, that question was great. I think there is something to be said about Daryl Williams' struggles and the fact that Josh couldn't roll out to his right. There's something to be said about the short yards per attempt because of having to get the ball off quickly because of pressure, because of teams bracketing Stephon Diggs and taking players away from him. You know, these are the growing pains that now Josh Allen has to counter. There's a lot of film from him and this offense from last year out there. Defenses are playing him differently so far. It's now up to the Bills. Josh Allen, the way that the Bills receivers run their routes, Brian Daboll calls his plays to counter that. Because when you can come up with a successful counter, then the defense has to go back to the drawing board. So Buffalo really has to kind of do their due diligence here over these next few weeks. I think you're going to start to see some changes here against Washington and how they move the ball. I think there's going to be more opportunities against Washington as long as that offensive line can protect against that defensive front. Because I like that matchup of these wide receivers against those defensive backs that Washington has. There's some talent there, don't get me wrong, but I like this matchup more than last week. Miami obviously having a very talented secondary. Then, like I said, what we saw 1 week ago, I did see something in here in our comments, Matt. Hope Salatulay plays from Scott Blakely. Scott, there's no reason to think that he's not going to. No injury designation. After today's practice, he was a full participant. There's only two players that are listed as questionable, so fully expect to see Salatulay out there on the field on Sunday.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
I want to get into the receivers real quick, but before we do, let's talk about that injury report today. Justin Zimmer over Harrison Phillips. There was a fan in the comments that, you know, seemed to take some issue with that. Justin Zimmer's been better, and through 2 weeks, he's been explosive. He's been a playmaker. He's got a never ending, never stopping motor that I think that, you know, resonates with the coaches. And so I think Zimmer has earned the snaps that he's getting. And so I think that we'll continue to see Zimmer, whether or not Harrison is active, either way. But some issues at cornerback, Ryan. You know, you talk about how well Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson played, both listed as questionable on the injury report, both dealing with knee injuries, which is a little bit scary. I am a big fan, obviously, no bias here at all, of Cam Lewis, who's sitting on the Bills practice squad. But he's kind of sitting in the wings, and I could see them, because Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace were both full today, so they're questionable for Sunday. I could see them both being brought in, and then Dane Jackson maybe being that, you know, first practice squad elevation tomorrow. before the game, just to have that insurance in case either of those guys get banged up in this game.
Yeah, you know, Cam Lewis might be elevated up, and like you said, you have Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace listed with knee injuries. You mentioned it, though. Both listed as questionable. It looked like when Levi left, a lot of people assumed it was cramping. It looked like it was cramping the way they were stretching him out. The fact that they were out here full participants on a Friday, that's good news for the Bills. I think they're both leaning towards playing. But listen, cornerback is one of those areas where the Bills did not have a lot of depth this offseason. They had a lot of young guys, a lot of players that struggled. So that's why you work out a Quentin Dunbar. That's why I'm sure they're going to continue to look to see who's out there, who's available. Maybe even as the trade deadline approaches, maybe they swing a trade for someone. When you're in this championship window, you always have to be making sure that you have someone waiting in the wings in case there's an injury. So, you know, there's still some big names out there that might have some troubles. There's a Richard Sherman that we've talked about a lot this offseason. A lot of teams are starting to show interest in him. Maybe that's a path they go. Maybe Dunbar's brought in. But they do have some faith in Cam Lewis. They obviously have faith in what Dane Jackson can do when he's healthy. But when you have your number two cornerback in Levi Wallace, who's a little bit banged up right now, his top reserve banged up, it's a concern because we're not that far away, Matt, from matchups against the Kansas City Chiefs, Tennessee Titans, and you got to make sure that you have the best of the best out there.
Just going through the injury report a little bit here. I know some people asking Gabriel Davis. He was limited on Wednesday and Thursday. I wasn't there today. He was full. This is usually a lighter practice. I still thought yesterday he was doing some work as he was running some routes and favoring that ankle a little bit. I think that was a big reason why he played such a limited amount last week. So I think that they could still kind of be cautious with him this week. And if it means more Dawson Knox, I think that they're comfortable with that at this stage. You know, looking at this receiving core, you know, we talked to Emmanuel Sanders yesterday, and it was funny. He walked out and he was like, you could tell it was windy at the facility. Like it was like 60, but the wind made it feel like 50. One of those really sub elite fall days, if you will, in Orchard Park. And he was looking around, he was shivering in a hoodie, and he was like, man, this is terrible. And somebody was like, you're from Denver. You played in Denver all those years. And he's like, this ain't Denver. When it's 60 in Denver, it's sunny out. There's no wind like this. Like it's just different. And it is. And he said, you know, what he's here to do is win, you know, win in the regular season, win a Super Bowl. And then he's going to throw up the deuces, be out, go on a beach somewhere. And then everybody else could have the cold weather is what he said. But, you know, I think this is a big game for Emmanuel Sanders. I think he's starting to get comfortable in this offense. You know, one of the things that I don't think that I necessarily accounted for was that, you know, I was thinking about this. John Brown, in a lot of ways, was probably a better complement to Stephon Diggs, like just at the jump from when they were paired together than when Emmanuel and Stephon Diggs were paired together. Because I think Diggs and Sanders are a little bit more similar in the way that they play the game. John Brown is a little bit more finesse kind of wide receiver. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that they could probably figure it out, but I think that that's why it's been a little bit clunky at the start. But I think it comes down to, you know, Emmanuel Sanders said something interesting. He said week one, we were going in there and we were like, we got to get open. We got to run our routes. And, you know, they kind of, you know, went into Miami last week and now they're holding over to this Washington week. Listen, we're going to take that pressure off of ourselves. We're going to go out there. We're going to do our job. We're not going to try to do too much. We're going to play football. We're going to get open for Josh, and then we're going to make plays when we get the ball. And I think that maybe might be a little bit of a lens into the pressure that was on these guys going into the season, you know?
Yeah. Listen, there's a ton of pressure on these guys. They looked like the greatest show on turf at times last year with the way they were moving the ball through the air. So you come into 2021 and you're expecting the same. But like we talked about earlier, Matt, there's a lot of film on the Bills offense from last season and the success that they had. And speaking to your point, another reason that John Brown and Stephon Diggs off the jump may have been a better pairing. Brown had a year of experience in this offense. He had experience with Josh Allen. He had that chemistry already built. This offseason, Emmanuel Sanders was dealing with a little bit of a foot injury here and there. He missed a lot of time. They maybe couldn't work out the little intricacies in terms of building that chemistry together. We're starting to see it now, that deep pass in the Miami game. They missed it in the first game against Pittsburgh. So I'm sure as this year goes on, they're going to get more on the same page. They're going to connect a little bit more as well. Diggs is going to be Diggs. Beasley's still going to be a guy in the slot that you can trust. And then you still have Gabriel Davis, who like you said, last week was nowhere near 100%. He was still active. He wasn't out there much. As he heals from this, he's going to be more and more of an important contributor. He was one of Josh Allen's favorite targets when he had to scramble out of the pocket and wait for someone to get open. One of his favorite targets along the sidelines. When you have all four of them going, when you have that chemistry working with Josh and Emmanuel Sanders, that's when this is going to really be at its best. And like you said, now that they're kind of taking the pressure off themselves and say, we're just going to go out there, we're going to play. This is, you know, this is something they've been doing since they were kids. I think that this is a matchup that could bode well for them.
You know, I tweeted something during the game at halftime when people were freaking out about the offense. And I said, Bills offense scored one touchdown last week. They have two in the first half this week, just offering some perspective. Offense has work to do, but anyone remember how it started last year in September and then what happened in October? And I think people didn't really understand that at the time. They were reacting to how, you know, not 2020 Bills offense, the 2021 Bills offenses look so far. And I think that they weren't kind of really giving it the thought of what I was meaning by that, because you fast forward the clock. You talked about that hot start with John Brown in the offense and the way they scored in Miami and the way that they were moving the ball up and down the field against the Rams defense, right? The wheels fell off against Kansas City, against Tennessee. That can't happen this year. That Kansas City game, there's so much importance on that game, Ryan. Like, it's a regular season game, but you know what? That could be the difference in home field advantage. And I'll tell you right now, that's what this team is still focused in on. Winning the AFC East, sure, you know, that's the number one goal, but that should be, with the talent on this roster and the fact that you just paid $258 million to your quarterback, that should be a foregone conclusion at this point. That's what good teams do. You got to get home field advantage if you want to give yourself every chance to go to the Super Bowl. And if this offense comes out of the gates and is flying high and putting out all this tape in September, maybe Brian Daboll's been a little bit vanilla by design, because he's eyeing that game, the importance of that game, and doesn't want to. Now, Kansas City's defense has been, actually, funny enough, one of the worst in the NFL so far.
Oh, terrible.
You know, Lamar Jackson was able to do anything he wanted the other night against them. So maybe that game turns out a little bit different, but Spagnuolo versus Daboll / Allen has not gone well the last two times. It's got to go well this time.
Absolutely. And there's even something mentally about that. Not just winning or claiming the number one seed in the AFC. There's that mental hurdle of, we got to be able to defeat this team in the regular season, so that when it comes playoff time, we don't have that block in our head saying, man, this is a team we just can't get by. You know, Baltimore, before this game this season, that's how they felt. That Kansas City had been their kryptonite. They had beaten them and beaten them pretty handily over the course of the last few years. And then it looked like at one point it was going to kind of be the same old kind of game, but then Lamar had a great game, Lamar Jackson and company. And when it was all said and done, they won that game. I think the Bills need a game like that against Kansas City to show that, not just for the number one seed in the AFC, but hey, listen, come playoff time, we can do this again. We can go toe to toe with them offensive. We have just as much firepower. And then defensively, the Bills through 2 weeks are in a much better spot than Kansas City, who they could not stop the Browns in week one. If it hadn't been for, the punter dropping that snap and getting tackled, that game may have been in the Browns' favor. And maybe we'd be sitting here talking about Kansas City being 0-2 through 2 weeks, which is pretty unbelievable to think about. But the offenses look good. The defense, not so much. Josh Allen and company should have some opportunities. The defense has to step up, and the Bills have to show once and for all that they can go toe-to-toe with this Kansas City team.
2 days, we're going to find out how this thing plays out. But before we get out of here, we got to give our prediction. I'm going to start. I have the Bills winning 31-20. The offense getting it going, scoring some points. Buffalo right now, their defense, talking about red zone at the top of the show, Buffalo's red zone defense is allowing touchdowns on only 16.6% of drives this year. That's number one in the NFL, Ryan. So when you know, the bend but don't break model that Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott have employed for so long, it's being executed and run right now at the most elite level in the NFL. I think this defense is playing with a ton of confidence. I think Taylor Heinicke comes in here in the environment, dealing with the fans, and it's going to be a rabid environment on Sunday, I would imagine. You know, the Bills able to get the offense going in a more similar direction to what we saw last season. 31-20, that's my pick.
All right, I have 34-17 Bills. one of those touchdowns is a pick six for this defense. I think they're going to be able to get after Taylor Heinicke. They're going to be able to create a turnover that someone in the secondary returns for a touchdown. Maybe it's Poyer, Hyde, one of the cornerbacks. I don't know. I think it happens later in the game when they're trying to close the gap on a Bills lead. I think Josh Allen looks better. This run game picks up where it left off, and the wide receivers do kind of get over that, not necessarily mental hurdle, but they go out there and play looser. I think they've been playing a little bit tight. I think defenses have been playing them different. I think they have a lot of success in this game. So the Bills win it 34-17.
Beautiful. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Hit that like button and subscribe before you get out of here. Every time we go live, it'll send you a notification so you're in. We started at the top of the show. If you just joined us, we explained the contest that we're running. We got a billboard in downtown Buffalo. Go snap a selfie with it. Get it to us. Tweet it at us. Email it to us. You get entered into the contest. The prizes are great. And then, we're brought to you by Tops Friendly Markets. Are you hosting a large party this weekend? Check out Tops' huge selection of party platters for a delicious, effortless, and affordable, no-stress way to impress. For complete details, stop by their carryout cafe or visit topsmarkets.com/fantasyfoodball. Ryan Talbot, final thought.
Looking forward to seeing the Bills at home again, seeing if they can bounce back from that week one loss at Highmark Stadium. I think the stadium will be rocking. It's going to make it very tough for an inexperienced quarterback in Heinicke to be successful over four quarters.
For Ryan Talbot, I am Matt Parrino. We will be live after the game on Sunday. Watch your Buffalo Bills play a football game. Watch us after the game. We usually go live 2 to 3 hours after the game because I like to get into the locker room. Not the locker room, the press conference room, do the interviews. We'll write a little bit. Then we'll give you guys some time to marinate. And then usually between those 4 o'clock games and the 7 o'clock game or the night game, we try to go live. All right, guys, we'll see you Sunday. Have a good weekend.
Shout, a Buffalo Football Podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.